Good evening, Lagos. Good evening, Nigeria. Nutritionists say that breakfast is the most important meal of the day because it sets the tone for the day and promotes weight maintenance and weight loss by maintaining blood glucose levels and your metabolism. What if I tell you that successful people eat a certain type of breakfast every day? It is not a breakfast as in terms of food, but I call it the breakfast that fuels them to success, and that breakfast is feedback. Yes, feedback is the breakfast of champions. This quote is not actually my quote, it's the quote from American leadership coach and author of numerous best-selling books, Ken Blanchard, who said that feedback is the breakfast of champions. I believe that feedback is the fuel that drives the engine of performance, and you can predict how far an individual and organization will go looking at their attitude towards feedback, especially negative feedback. I am Dr. Max Oluba. Today we'll be talking about why we hate negative feedback and what you can do about it. You can be a part of this conversation on 01277-1993. The question for today is, what is the worst feedback you have received in the workplace, perhaps even at home, and how did you deal with it? That's the question for today. What is the worst feedback you have received, and how did you deal with it? The numbers to call is 01277-0993, 01277-1993, and 01277-2993. And if you just want to send a WhatsApp message only, you can send me a message on 0903-000-0022 for just WhatsApp message only. 0903-000-0022. So what is the worst feedback you have received, and how did you deal with it? So why do we hate negative feedback? We know that feedback is important. It tells us how we are doing, and people definitely, we want to hear positive feedback. And there's a tendency for us to want to see or hear positive feedback. As a leadership coach to organizations, you know, when I finish training, I want to look at what people are saying about the feedback. And there's a tendency for us to also look at the positive part. How are these people, how are they rated this training program? But once in a while, you see somebody that will make a comment that, well, you should I call it negative feedback or a feedback for improvement? And if you don't deal with that feedback, you will not be a great leader or a great coach. I think that there are two major reasons why we hate negative feedback. And the first is the theory that psychologists call positive illusions. And what does positive illusions say? It says that we have certain attitudes about ourselves, towards people, and towards our future. Okay, there's somebody on the phone line. Let me just take that first. Hello, good evening. Hello, good evening. Okay, the line has gone off. Okay, so let's talk about positive illusion. So let me finish positive illusion before I take any phone call. So what's positive illusion? Positive illusion says that people have unrealistically favorable attitude towards themselves and the people that are close to them. So for example, if you go out on the street and ask anybody out there this simple question, are you more intelligent than a lot majority of people? The answer will be yes. If you go to any organization and ask an employee, are you adding value to your organization? That employee will say yes. I'm yet to see anybody who will say I am not adding value. So if you ask it about any trait, competence, kind, are you a nice person? Are you kind? A lot of people, the tendency is for us to rate ourselves better than we actually are. And positive illusion has an advantage. It makes people feel good. It maintains their self-esteem, and sometimes helps them to avoid discomfort. But the problem with this here is that we live in our own world, in that cocoon. So we create an image of ourselves that we are special. We present ourselves in a positive light, that we are special, that we are the best thing that has happened to our organization, to our spouses, to our children, and the rest. That positive illusion. And guess what negative feedback does? It removes the facade facade behind that illusion and confronts us with our weaknesses, our frailties, and our ordinariness. So the person who thinks that he's the best thing that has happened to that organization is now told that you're not actually adding value. The husband who thinks that he's the best thing that has happened to the wife, that negative feedback tells the husband that you are not really doing well, or vice versa. And that is why negative feedback hurts. It knocks the chief off our shoulders, and we feel so ordinary. It deflates our ego, our self-esteem, and brings us down to earth. So that illusion that we built, the castle that we built in the air, negative feedback removes that castle, as it were. It takes away our clothes, so to speak. I mean, it strips us bare, and we see our nakedness. We are not as useful as we think, and it hurts. It hurts our ego. So that's the concept of positive illusion. It tells you that you're special, and negative feedback tells you you're not as special as you think. That's one reason why it hurts. And I think it's the biggest reason, because that anger, that emotional sadness, everything comes from this positive illusion. So you've written a report. You think that that report is the best thing that the organization has seen. And your boss looks at the report and says, this report doesn't meet his expectation. And it hurts. So positive illusion is one reason why we hate negative feedback. We are looking at why we hate negative feedback. Okay, she has looked at it as the feedback that doesn't give you the results that you want. Okay, today we're also looking at negative feedback from the perspective of you've done what you've wanted, you've done what you're supposed to do, you've submitted the report to your boss, and your boss is not happy with that report, or your spouse is not happy with something about the relationship at home, or the father is not happy with the daughter is not happy with the mother, and that kind of feedback. But I want to look at it more from the workplace. I know we can look at it even at home and the rest, but let me concentrate on the workplace. So the first reason I said here that a lot of why we hate negative feedback is because of positive illusion, the tendency for us to rate ourselves higher than we actually are. And negative feedback strips us bare and makes us see ourselves the way we are. And that's one reason why we hate it, because it affects our self-esteem, and that feeling of you're the best thing that happened to this organization is taken away. Our intoxication with our own contribution. Somebody tells us that don't fool yourself. You're not really adding value to the organization. Okay, so first reason why we hate negative feedback is because of positive illusion. And second reason is, just like Ayo said, is that sometimes the feedback is too generic to be of any use. Rather than help us improve, they actually leave us more confused. So if a boss calls his team into a meeting, calls a member of the team into a meeting and just says, I'm not happy with you. And the member says, what is wrong? He says, I don't know, but just to let you know that I am not happy with you and you need to sit up. Is it the quality of my work? Is it my delivery? Is it about punctuality? What is it about me that you're not happy with? And so the person will leave that office more confused, or telling the boss, telling the subordinate, that this report is sloppy. What exactly about this report is sloppy? Why not make it specific? So when feedback is not of any use to the person that is receiving it, and the person leaves your presence more confused, or somebody telling you you need to add more energy, or you need to add more life to your work. The question is, what is more life? Is more life about increasing your speed, your pace, or what exactly is more life? And if feedback is not specific, it is useless. But the person leaves your presence wondering, what exactly do I need to do? And once there is that confusion of what do I need to do, you find out that the person will spend the rest of his days thinking, my boss is not happy with me, but I don't know why my boss is not happy with me. Is it that I missed a punctuation mark, or I missed a spec check, or what exactly about my work does my boss not like? And so once feedback is not specific, it leaves people confused, and at the end of the day, they end up hating it, because they just think that the boss doesn't like them. So you can be a part of this conversation on 01277-0993, 01277-1993, 01277-2993. So we see two reasons why people do not like negative feedback. Biggest is because of positive illusion, and secondly is because the feedback is useless and leaves them confused. Let me try and address something. You know, some people have called and says they don't see it as positive and negative, or you understand, but the reality, let's be real. There are times when, even when it is presented in a positive light, people feel hurt, people feel offended, people feel wounded. It can be something about your spell check, it can be something about punctuality, it can be something about even the way you talk to people or something. And let's why I celebrate my callers, Ademola, Oluyong, and the rest, and Babatunde, and that says you should see it from a positive light. The reality is that 80-90% of people, that even when some feedback are presented in a positive light, still feel hot. And you see them for 1 hour, 2 hours, they are not very happy. It affects their mood. They have a sullen face and all that. So let me go to the next part I want to talk about. I want to talk about three things you must not do. Things you must not do when you are giving feedback. You understand? Especially the feedback, let me use the word of somebody that did not meet your expectations. Three things that you must not do. Number one here is that you must not dismiss the feedback. You know, being dismissive is about devaluing or belittling the feedback. For example, imagine walking up to your boss and telling the boss, I want to discuss something with you. And after giving him feedback about something related to the work that is affecting you, maybe his behavior, his attitude towards you, like the caller who called and said, my boss doesn't like me and the rest. And maybe she summons up the courage to go to the boss and says, boss, I've noticed that of late your attitude towards me, or you always speak on my work and the rest. And after giving that feedback to your boss, the boss says that I thought it was something more important that you wanted to discuss with me. It's obvious that you're not challenged, and that's why you have time to come and discuss this irrelevant issue with me. How would you feel? You know, what the boss has simply done is that the boss has dismissed that feedback. Or a boss calling a team and saying to the team, I want us to talk about how to improve the performance of the team. And imagine somebody making the suggestion and the boss saying, that's one of the dumbest things I've had in my life. And how would that person feel? So you might think that it won't affect the person. It would affect the person. So when you combine positive illusion that the person thinks is making a suggestion to move the organization forward, they think that that idea is the best thing to have happened. And here is somebody deflating his ego in the presence of people, and his social capital is depleted. That person will feel offended. Or imagine a wife complaining that the husband comes home late, and he replies, you should be grateful that I only come home late. At least I don't come home drunk or with another woman's perfume on my clothes. What the man has simply done is to dismiss that feedback. And being dismissive tells the person that that feedback is not important to you. So let me spend 1 minute and say this here, that for people to give feedback, you need to understand that that feedback is important to them. So whatever the feedback is, so the wife that says you come home late, it means I want you to be home, you understand, I want you to be home earlier so that we can have interactions, talk, and the rest. The subordinate that gives the suggestion to improve the performance of the team, it means that he's concerned about the performance of the team. So why the feedback might not be important to you, the feedback is important to that person giving the feedback. And when you dismiss the feedback, you are not just saying that the feedback is not important, you're also indirectly saying that the person who summoned up the courage to give that feedback is not important also. One thing you must not do is to dismiss the feedback. The second thing that you must not do when you get a feedback that is not so palatable is to defend your position. You know, being dismissive is about devaluing or belittling the feedback. Defending your position is about finding fault and attacking the person who has given that feedback. So if the person says that you always come home late, you say, no, that's not true. Last week I came home early. I know that word always was used to say, you understand, it means always, generally means always. place, but the person is trying to say that you come home late a lot of time. So it's not about asking whether it's 11 or whether it's 10. I remember that I once had a staff who came to the office, and I decided to give this staff permission to report a little earlier for one or two reasons. And this day, the person came almost at somewhere around 11 o'clock or something. And I said to the person that you came at 11, and the person says, no, it's 10 minutes to 11 or something. And I almost lost it. Now, that is trying to defend your position. When I said 11, I don't mean it's 11 on the dot. Whether it's 15 minutes before or 20 minutes before, that's not what I'm trying to say. The essence here is I'm trying to say that you came home, you came to work late, and it's totally unacceptable. So defending your position is about ridiculing that feedback, attacking the feedback, making the person feel like the accused. And there are two positions that we take when we defend our position. Position number one here is I am right and you are wrong. So we're talking about defending your position. I am right and you are wrong. Here you take the position of a defense lawyer and you turn the case on his head and you make the person giving the feedback to become the accused. You find fault in that argument. You puncture that hole in the argument, and you, at the end of the day, the person leaves your presence feeling stupid and foolish for even giving that feedback. Position number two is what I call what about you. So here in this case, you're giving feedback about something to that person, and the person's attitude is like, who are you to give me that feedback when you also have your own faults? So when the person finishes, you start recounting the person's faults also. So imagine somebody who comes to work late and is subordinate is trying to say, please try and come to work early. That's feedback because it's affecting the team. And when the person finishes, you turn the feedback and says, you, look at you, you are talking. Even though you come early, are you meeting your target? Now we're talking about punctuality here. We're not talking about meeting targets. But in the what about you case, you turn the feedback on his head and you begin to find fault in that other person. So the wife who tells the husband that you come home late, now the husband can find a fault about the wife and say, look at you, you that is talking, you that I do this for, and you don't do this back in return, and start finding fault that has nothing to do with the issue being discussed. That is the second thing you must not do. So first I said you must not dismiss it. Second is that you must not defend your position. Wow, our time is fast spent. Okay, point number three, like what Emmanuel said, is do not personalize the feedback. You understand, when somebody gives you a feedback, remember that feedback is a judgment about an aspect of your performance. It's not about your person. So don't say that my boss doesn't like me. You understand, that's personalization. So if your boss says, I want you to be more outgoing, it's not that your boss hates you. But when you personalize the feedback, you take it from being an aspect of your performance and you turn it to mean that there's something about you that your boss doesn't like. And usually personalization will lead to generalization. So like the lady who called and I said I was going to deal with it. When you use the word always or never, he always picks on me, he never seems to like me, you know what you've done is personalization that has led to generalization. And three things I said you must not do. Number one is that you must not dismiss it. Number two is that you must not defend your position. I'm right. And in defending your position, there are two sub-components, A and B. I'm right, you are wrong. And the second part is what about you. Let me spend 1 minute and talk about personalization. I want you to imagine, follow me, I'm a medical doctor here. First degree was in medicine from College of Medicine, University of Lagos. And I want you to imagine that you went to the clinic, for example, and the doctor has run some tests, and that test shows that your blood sugar level is high, for example, or your cholesterol level is high. It means that you've been taking too much oil, or you understand, oil food, and or blood sugar is high. You've been taking a lot of things. And the doctor says to you that your blood sugar level is high. We need to cut down on your blood sugar level or something else. Maybe your blood pressure is high or whatever it is. There is a high there, but there's something that is wrong with your health system. Now, would you leave that place feeling bad? No. In fact, at the end of the day, you'll be grateful to the doctor for telling you that you need to work down, you need to cut down on your blood sugar level, you need to cut down on your oil cholesterol or something, or you need to start exercising and the rest for your blood pressure and all that. You'll be grateful. It doesn't affect your self-esteem. You do not leave that clinic because you have high blood sugar and conclude that you are going to die, for example. That is generalization. So why would somebody feel bad that the boss has called you for a meeting and told you, for example, that you need to upgrade, you need to improve in an aspect of your performance? So for me, like some of the callers that I've called, I see feedback as my own personal performance head check. You understand? So one feedback that people have said to me, like the caller that called 2 weeks ago, that you are fast. Please slow down. And sometimes I tell people that it's because I have a lot to say and the time is not even on my side and I need to download a lot. Even in the church I happen to pastor, I've gotten that feedback over and over. Slow down. So that for me is an area of improvement, but I do not see it as a judgment on my person. I think if we begin to see feedback from the perspective of somebody is trying to help me improve, and this is an aspect of performance that I need to work on, and it's not an attack on my person, I think it will help us, you know, go a long way in dealing with feedback. Wow, I have like 10 minutes. I can take one or two more calls, but I think I need to say this before I take the calls because of our time. Now, I wanted to go into how do we deal with it. There's a model I'd like to share with you. But before I go into that model, you need to remember three things about feedback. Every time somebody gives you feedback, the person might not communicate it in the right way. You understand? The person might be angry. You understand? So the boss should communicate feedback in the right way. He might not have communicated it in the right way. The spouse might not have communicated that issue in the right way. But I need you to understand that there are three things every time you get a feedback that is not so pleasant. There are three things you need to remember about that feedback. Number one is that it is important to the person. I've said that before. We only give feedback about the issues that are important to us. If something is not important to you, you just ignore and move on. But when something is important to you, then you need to give feedback about that thing. Number two is that you are important to that person. We only give feedback not only about things that are important to us, but also to people who are important to us. If the person is not important to you, for example, you would ignore. I think that we do one of two things when people are not important to us. It's either we ignore and just dismiss it and move on, or secondly is we gossip behind the back of those people. So let me ask you a question. Have you lost a friend, a very close friend, for apparently no reason? You can't place your hand on it, but you know that that relationship is not what you used to be. That is simply somebody who walked away because the person could not muster up the courage to give you that feedback. And so every time somebody walks up to you to give you feedback, you know that that person has an option. The person could have walked away, or the person could have given that same feedback about you behind your back. And that is what we call gossip. When somebody gives feedback, we don't gossip about positive things of people. We celebrate positive things in the presence of people, but we gossip about their negative things, their blind spots that they are not aware of. So when somebody summons up the courage to tell you something that is not so pleasant, I need you to know that that person needs to be celebrated, because the person could have ignored it and you could have made a disaster of that of your career, or the person could have gossiped behind your back. So I think that in this point number two, the person is saying that I care too much about you not to let you know how I feel about this issue. So you see feedback as in somebody that cares so much about you. And point number three, which is where I will end next week, I will talk about a model of receiving and giving feedback. So if you are a subordinate and you need to receive feedback, if you're a boss, you need to give feedback, you need to tune into next week's episode. There's a model I'm going to share with you about receiving and giving feedback. But point number three is one of the most important things I learned about feedback, and that is that the person has not given up on you. That's what every time somebody gives us negative feedback, the person is doing either one of two things in point number three. They are trying to help you improve, which is what somebody called the developmental. That's I think it's Mr. Emmanuel that calls the developmental feedback. He's trying to help you improve, or the person is trying to salvage that relationship. I said it earlier that feedback brings out our blind spots into the open and shows us the areas that we need to improve. So the person is trying to help you improve. But let me spend the remaining few minutes of my time talk about trying to salvage a relationship. So you see, I once had a staff, so that you understand this from a practical example. And after giving feedback, and I didn't see any change. I got to that point in my life where, this was so many years ago, where I said, I think it's time for this person to get a job somewhere else. And guess what? But this, I made the decision somewhere around October. As my custom is, normally I will find at the end of December, I'll give their Christmas bonus and all that. And I felt if I ask him to go in October, for example, he will not get his Christmas bonus. So let me allow him to get his Christmas bonus and, you know, make it comfortable, like a soft landing for him. But guess what? As soon as I made that decision that I was going to let him go, every other thing that he did afterwards did not get to me. So you need to be careful here. And I tell people, that for me was a big lesson. That for me was a big lesson. A big lesson that when somebody stops giving you feedback, when customer stops giving you feedback, when your husband stops giving you feedback as a spouse, or your wife stops giving you feedback, or when your boss doesn't give you feedback again, negative feedback. So you make a mistake and your boss will not say anything. Before, he will complain, but right now he will just smile and overlook it. Be careful. That person might have made up his mind to replace you. And once that decision is made, that this relationship is you cannot be redeemed any longer, irredeemable, then you just find out that people will stop giving feedback because they've made up their mind to move on. So when people give us feedback, it's because they still want to salvage their relationship. They might be angry, they might scream, they might shout, but they're still telling us that, I still believe that this relationship can work. I still believe that you can meet your performance target. And for that, we need to celebrate negative feedback. It's because, number one, it's important to them. Number two, we are important to them. And number three, they still believe in us and in the relationship, and they are trying to salvage that relationship. That is what negative feedback is telling us. I am Dr. Maxwell Oba. I need to stop at this stage, but we can continue this conversation online. So I'll put the summary of some of the things I've talked about, and 3 things you must not do, concept of positive illusion, and 3 reasons why people give us feedback and all that. So online, you can follow me on Twitter at Maxwell Oba, Instagram also Maxwell Oba, and LinkedIn Maxwell Oba. Remember that feedback is the breakfast of champions. It's the fuel that drives the engine of performance. I am Dr. Maxwell Oba. God bless you.